Welcome to Between Heaven and Earth, an internet radio talk show where we help you connect spirit and divine guidance. Lisa Kay, your host, brings you shows that can enhance and transform your life with tips and new ideas for more happiness, abundance, and better relationships. Lisa is an expert on intuition and can show you how to strengthen your inner guidance to empower yourself. Each show is positive and uplifting to inspire your day. Her guest speakers are specialists on self-help, positive thinking, spirituality, and conscious living. Be the best that you can be with Between Heaven and Earth, conscious living for your soul.
And angel blessings to everyone. Hi, I'm Lisa Kay, and as you've heard in the intro, we often have fascinating guests on our show. And today we have a guest I believe you're going to find really, really fascinating. And I am really excited about this because we are going to talk about an interesting aspect of my favorite topic, which is sacred sites, these beautiful places on earth that are so special. And so our show today is called Spirit Traveler to Sacred Sites. Now, I'm sure you've heard of sacred and famous historical sites such as Stonehenge and the Great Pyramids of Egypt. And historians, you know, they only know so much about these places because they're really, really old, thousands and thousands of years, and times tens of thousands. So now, well, what if you could travel back in time and actually be there? Or perhaps you could talk to those people who knew what happened when these places were built. I think that would be phenomenal. Well, I have a guest today who says she's able to actually do this by traveling through time and receive information about the people and the demigods involved in these great places. And my guest is Sonia Grace, and she's written a book called Spirit Traveler, where she explores what we know about eight of the world's greatest historical sites, including standing stones, castles, and pyramids, and what really happened centuries ago. Let me tell you a little bit about Sonia. Sonia Grace is an internationally known mystic and healer whose work helps people who suffer physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. She is an energy surgeon whose spirit travels to work with her clients wherever they are in the world and performs all levels of healing, including restructuring tissue, repairing organs, bones, blood, and cells. Sonia's ancestral background is a fascinating blend of Native American and Norwegian. She has been adopted by the Hopi Reservation, where she is considered a medicine woman. Sonia is also the author of Become an Earth Angel, published by Findhorn Press, and has appeared on Beyond Belief with George Nori, Coast to Coast AM, Better TV, AM Northwest, and the Virtual Light broadcast. Welcome, Sonia. I am so happy to have you on the show today. Sonia, sure. I'm sorry.
Thank you. It's really great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. You know, I think they switched around my studio thing here, and now they when the show starts, they mute everybody, and I forget that. But anyway, welcome. I'm so excited. You know, I love traveling. And I love, especially my fans know this, I love to go to spiritual sites, sacred sites. And if I am near one, I always ask my husband if we can, you know, take a detour to go visit it. And we've actually made some journeys specifically for certain sites. And most recently, actually, we went to Stonehenge. And that was quite an interesting place to visit. And what I found out about your book, I thought, wow, you know, that must be really a wealth of incredible knowledge, because, you know, there's only so, like I said in the intro, there's only so much we know about these places, because nobody's been there who's still alive. So could you tell us a little bit more about your book and how it came about, and what we can gain from it?
Sure. I'm sure that you have listeners out there that don't know my work at all. I'm a healer. I'm a mystic and a healer, and I work on people long distance. I call my book Spirit Traveler because I literally spirit travel to people wherever they are around the world, and I'm considered an energy surgeon. I work on, you know, the heart, liver, spleen, pancreas, cancers, bones, blood, everything. I've worked on just about everything, and I'm able to go in and literally repair. I've done, you know, triple bypasses on hearts, and the person has no more heart, congestive heart failure. There's no more heart disease. You know, I just worked on a woman's eyes who had, she had, she'd been diagnosed with glaucoma, and her eye pressure was about 35 and 32, and normal eye pressure is between 10 and 22, and she went and got her eyes tested wow. after I worked on her, and her eye pressure was 15 and 13,
wow,
which is
amazing.
Really good. And I, you know, so I go in, and I'm able to work on people, so my daily life is, you know, one person
traveling
at a time, you know, okay, I'm in Switzerland right now. Now I'm in Australia. Now
wow.
I'm in Norway. Okay, England, back to California. So every day I'm with people and I'm literally spirit traveling.
That's
and out
fantastic.
Of that came the day. Pardon?
That's fantastic. That's amazing.
Yeah. So out of that came my ability to, you know, go into meditation as I do every day. And in that process, I dissolve. I literally, my whole body dissolves. There's nothing left of my physical form. And only then is when my guides take my hand and say, okay, we're going here. And they pretty much call the shots as to where we're going to go and what they want me to see. So the day that they took me to Stonehenge, I was super stoked because I'd always wanted to go there. And when we arrived, there was nothing on the land. Salisbury Plain was looking as it looked back then. There was nothing on it. But when the beings who created this site came to me, I call them the ancient ones, they're Pleiadians. And the demigods are, or star beings, demigods, are the ones that have that came through, you know, 12,000 years ago and helped create and mold humanity in different places all around the world.
Wow.
And to make this an even longer explanation, we came to this new phase of humanity when Atlantis fell. So when Atlantis fell and we went into an ice age, all this landmass shifted and changed. We had huge portals open up all over the world. And that was kind of the Earth signaling the rest of our galaxy and beyond, okay, we're ready for a new phase of humanity. That's when all the different demigods came through, the Greek gods, the Egyptian gods, the Tibetan gods, the Hopi gods, the Norse gods. It's like everybody came through to govern and cross-pollinate and create their group of humans. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have all these varying stories and different cultures and stuff around the world. And so when this happened, the Pleiadians, who didn't want to be recognized as any of that, came in and created, cross-pollinated, helped form Stonehenge, which was much bigger than Stonehenge that we see today. Much bigger henge is underground. That place was the site where the goddesses, the high priestesses, did their ceremonies. And Stonehenge was all about fertility. It had nothing to do with death, as many archaeologists have speculated.
Ah, fascinating. Now, you were saying, so at this point, there was a point in time when the portals opened up, as you said, and these gods came in, came to Earth. Were they in spirit form or were they physical?
No, they were in physical form. And the one thing that's really interesting is the Norse gods came through and they, of course, ended up working and governing people in Norway and Sweden and Denmark and that area. Mm-hmm. But they took all the credit for what happened in England and Scotland. They took all the credit for that because the Pleiadians didn't want to be remembered or known. The Norse gods were much more forthright in taking physical form and walking among the people. But the statement that the Pleiadians or the ancient ones told me is that Stonehenge was their last statement to the people. Do not forget us. Do not forget the ceremonies that we've taught you. this is our last message to you, that you always remember us and always remember the spirituality that we have given you to survive. And of course, the people did fine for a while, but after a while, because the gods all came through for a certain period of time to help get these societies and places set up. But after a while, they stopped coming. And that's when the Pleiadians stopped coming to Salisbury Plain. And so they ended up freaking out over time and feeling like, oh, we need to bring the gods back. There's, you know, the people are at unrest. And so they started burying their high priestesses next to Stonehenge. That's why there's burial mounds there, because they wanted to have them be able to get to the gods and bring them back. And then, of course, over time, like around, 2,000-3,000 BC, we had the Druid practice really come in as sort of the new phase of what fell out of these ceremonies that were practiced. So they kind of borrowed and went into a whole phase of Druid practice that was more male-oriented, whereas what they were doing there at Stonehenge was very female-oriented.
Interesting. So what was their purpose of coming? Was it to help humanity?
They all came through to help humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certain races, alien races, that have come here to enslave or, you know, hijack people for whatever reason, scientific reasons. But this is the demigods are of a much higher vibration. They're much bigger. Mm-hmm. They're huge. They're like, 12, 15 feet tall. They're huge. I'm going to use the word benevolent, meaning they're just such a higher vibration and ability and everything that we aren't even close to that. Mm-hmm. And so this is why they came. This is why they come through to Earth to help us. Why there's so many different gods, stories of the gods, different, art pieces and things that are created to depict those gods. People understood that back then. They were much closer to the beings
to the
that
gods.
Were here to help us, as opposed to, as opposed to now, we're all buried into our iPhones and walking around,
technology.
Looking down.
So let's take Stonehenge as an example, because we were talking about it. So this was a place of ceremony and worship, and as you said, feminine fertility. What should we be using these sites for today? And I know there was a mention of, remembering us, and what is it they want us to remember? What is it they, if we go to visit the space there, is there something we should be doing or looking for?
In regards to stone circles, which there are over 900, over 1,000, maybe in the area of the UK and Europe, those sites are all marked. The reason the stone circles, they're marking portals. Mm-hmm. All these are different portals. And portals either receive energy from the cosmos, or energy leaves the Earth to the cosmos, or in some cases, like Stonehenge, both happen. There's energy releasing and energy coming up from the Earth. So in the case of, what do we do? Certainly entering any sacred space, we need to approach it with reverence and respect. And in my own native culture, we always leave an offering and ask permission to enter that space. There's a great deal of respect for these sacred sites. And certainly even in my time traveling experience, I asked permission before I even took a step. But I think that the thing that we need to acknowledge now is that we're coming to the end of this phase of humanity. We just spanned 12,000 years in our conversation, and we're coming to the end of this phase. And what that means is the children who are being born today are like we were back when we came, when we incarnated at the end of Atlantis. So these children coming in today are star seeds, and most of them have at best one or two lifetimes on Earth. Many of them have no lifetimes on Earth. And so they're struggling to, you know, be in their bodies and to figure out, okay, like, how do I be here now? I work with lots of mothers and helping their young 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old, you know, integrate by, you know, helping them energetically to be here. And I find that at the end of this phase, it's not, you know, I don't want people to interpret that, you know, my God, the world's ending, because it's not. But it's the end. It's the end of a phase, meaning we're going to move into a whole new phase of humanity, that where we have energies and portals and things opening up and coming through, and, you know, a whole new thing. It will not be during necessarily during yours and mine's lifetime, but certainly our children or grandchildren during their lifetime.
Is there a message? I mean, when you've done this, when you've gone traveling and you've, you know, been able to connect to all, you know, all these, the spirits and the demigods. And was there a message, from the places that you visited? What's the information or the message that you brought back? Is it that, or if there is any, you know, for us as humanity?
Right. Well, in, you know, in my book, Spirit Traveler, I have I have a really interesting experience in that I went to Stonehenge and Skellig Michael, which is where they filmed Luke Skywalker in the last Star Wars movie. In fact, if your listeners haven't seen the last Star Wars movie, it's fabulous because it covers all of Skellig Michael, which is an island off the west coast of Ireland. And it's actually the mountain peaks of a great mountain that existed during Lemuria. And during Lemuria, which is also during the time of Atlantis, the landmass connected from the west coast of Ireland all the way to Greenland. There was land there, and that was a big mountain. So anyways, it's really fun to see it in the movie. I also have a chapter on Tiwanaku, the Gate of the Sun in Bolivia, Hagar Quim, which is a phenomenal site on the island of Malta off of the south of Italy. St. Winifred's Well, St. Winifred's Well in Wales, say that fast, Chichen Itza and the Temple of Kukulcan, and the Khafre Pyramid, which is the largest of the three great pyramids, and the Rock of Cashel. And that is also a castle in Ireland. These sites were picked by my guides. The book is laid out in such a way that the beginning of each chapter is more the facts. This is what we know. This is what archaeologists have found. You know, fact, all that. And then the latter part, the second part of the chapter, is my spirit travels. And so the message for each of these sites to me is the incredible connectivity and intelligence that people had back in those times. And they were advanced. They were certainly, I think, dialed into something that is as savvy technically that we are today, but in a completely different manner. And the sites in themselves, some of these sites, you know, the energy has lessened because people have really misused them, and various stages of life have happened, you know, in them. There was fighting on Salisbury Plain, you know, people have abused and misused Stonehenge, you know, and now it's this great sacred place because we have all come to recognize that. But it wasn't always that way. Farmers had their cows roaming around in there. The same is true with many sites around the world. But I would say the biggest message that I received is the demigods who came through to help create these sites were really, their intention was to help humanity, that they were very much a part of our creation, of who we are.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think we, you know, what is it we need to do today to maybe reconnect to the knowledge or, that either, you know, so old or maybe it's been lost, or what is it that
read my book.
People do?
Read my book. That's what I suggest. Read the book. And I think the other thing that I really want to promote is, you know, when I teach, when I do workshops and I teach meditation retreats all over the place, I am a huge, huge promoter of meditation, and the type of meditation that I teach is the basis of my grounding meditation, which connects people's energy to the earth in a very specific way. This is super important because we live not only in a dimension, and we've moved from the fourth dimension into the fifth dimension now, which is why things seem a little wonky and people are having, you know, ringing in their ears and they can't quite figure out why they have this neck pain or some kind of weird pain in their body. So we've got all this stuff going on because we're trying to adjust to a higher frequency now. Hmm. And that is a part of this phase of humanity coming to a close. Hmm. So we're contending with all of that. And in my meditation practice and what I teach people, it's really about learning how to manage your energy so that your energy isn't necessarily leaving your body and connecting with other energies in the world, but you're actually grounding it. And you have more, don't misinterpret the word power. You have more, it's like you have more energy, you have more power, you have more understanding of a situation by simply letting your energy go deep into the earth. Mm-hmm. The earth is really here to support us and help us.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely wonderful. I think that whole world of the energy that's unseen is something that I think is just very powerful. And the more we can learn about it, I think it would be really, you know, really incredible. Could you tell us a little bit what it's like for you to actually do the traveling when you travel to someplace else? What does it feel like or sound like? Is it like you are physically? Or is it different? What is it like?
Well, a lot of times people ask me, you know, oh, you're astral projecting, aren't you? And it's like, no, that's not what's happening to me. I certainly understand and know how to astral project. This is an actual physical process that my body goes through when I go into meditation. And you know, for your listeners who don't know me, I've been practicing for 36 years. I've been practicing as a healer for 36 years. And my meditation practice has evolved, as does everybody and all things, over time. So I get now into a deep state and my body dissolves. It completely evaporates like granules in the air. And once that has happened, then my guides, who are high angelic beings, come to me and they take me where they want to go. I do feel sensation. I feel cold air. Oftentimes they tell me wear a coat and I go put a coat on. Mm-hmm. And we go up. My face is wet. I feel the moisture in the air. And when we come down to where it is we are going to explore or see, there's definitely a feeling, a pressurized feeling, like I have been on an airplane. It's really weird. And when I come back, I have in my mind that I've only been gone for 20 minutes, and it's like 3 or 4 hours later.
Really? Wow.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a time travel experience in this.
That's wild. Now, have you ever traveled to a place that you hadn't been to before and then you went there afterward?
Yes, Stonehenge is one of them.
Really?
Yeah, Stonehenge is one of them. And, you know, and historians and archaeologists have reported that Stonehenge was built, you know, roughly around 2300 BC, and my findings are it was built more like 4000 BC, and we were sitting in this car with our driver, and you know, I was talking to the group I was with about this, and he said, you know, I have to tell you, Sonia, your dates are spot on. And I said, well, that's nice to hear. And he said I was with an archaeological dig just a week ago, and he said we found the tooth of an aurochs, and he said that tooth actually changes all the dates of when Stonehenge was built.
Wow.
It changed everything. He says they're going to have to change all the history books. They're going to have to change everything because it puts now the dates of Stonehenge exactly where you're saying they are, 4,000.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Exciting. Yeah.
That was amazing. That's really neat.
Yeah.
You know what they say is really exciting. I would be like blown away. What they say about, you know, a lot of cathedrals were built on sacred places that were maybe churches or temples before, even mosques, and, you know, even going back to Roman times and beyond that. So it seems like throughout the years, certain religious sites are, you know, were picked because of their, I guess, what they're feeling,
sure.
There's a specialness, if you want to call it that. So, you know, it seems that we have these places all over that we can, you know, that we still have the touchstone for. And
well, and if you go back and study ancient Egyptian, you know, spiritualism, you will see in that study all of the things that got borrowed in Christianity, because that so strong.
You know, it's really
in
fascinating.
That region.
Yeah, I was actually studying about Egyptian temples, not necessarily pyramids. Everybody likes to do the pyramids, but I was doing temples, and you know, the whole structure of the temple was that as you're walking through the door towards the back of the temple, it was like you were going on this journey towards heaven. And in the back of the temple, which actually only the priest was allowed to go, that there was a door, a portal to where the gods lived. And, you know, and in the front of the temple where, you know, commoners could be, or usually outside the door, that's where, but then, you know, people who were blessed or whatever you want to call it, were able to walk in. And then eventually as you go farther and farther back, it was more and more sacred. But, you know, I've discovered that churches and cathedrals, the Christian churches and cathedrals are built the same way. And that, you know, the narthex, which is
right.
Where the door is, that's, you know, if you're, I believe if you haven't been baptized, you're not allowed to go into the church. But this was way back when, this was like thousands of years ago. And, you know, so you'd have to stay there, but you could still listen to Mass, but you weren't able to go inside. And then, again, when you go into the church, the farther and farther you go back, the closer and closer, quote, you get to God, to where the altar is, and so on. So it's interesting how many things do overlap and how we carry them through. So,
right.
You know, there must be a
well,
a theme.
I really I feel that we're just repeating history.
Yes, exactly. And the messages. Right?
It's all cycles. Uh-huh. It's all cycles.
And that's why I find it fascinating.
We are constantly in cycles.
Yes. And what did our, you know, the people who lived 5,000 years ago and they were doing similar things, what did they know? As you said, they're more connected. What have we forgotten? What do we need to remember? And
right.
I find it fascinating that cultures around the world have very similar practices, even though they haven't met. And, you know, now it's easier because everybody's connected technologically. But, you know, even thousands of years ago, they were doing, I guess what they would have called in biology, convergent evolution, where people were doing.
Right.
So it's got to come from within us, right? Something within our biology. And then the whole spirit world, I think, is fascinating to me and not very well known. So, well, you know, we're at the end of our show, and it went really fast. There's so much fascinating information that you've got. You're just a wealth of information and bringing, you know, healing to people is just such a gift. And I wanted to, before we left, I wanted to let people know where they can reach you and where they might be able to see mm-hmm. you. I know you are going to be at the Conscious Life Expo in L.A. this weekend. And could you tell our listeners what you'll be doing?
Yes, I am. I'll see you there.
Huh? Yeah, we're both going to be there, right? We're both going to be, we're actually going to be on a panel together.
Well, my web.
And
We'll be on the healing panel.
That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, tell us about your website. Yeah. Where can people reach you?
So my website is Sonja, S-O-N-J-A, Grace, G-R-A-C-E .com. And, you know, everything's on there, my workshops, my retreats, sessions with me. I'm now booking April, so don't get frustrated if you go onto the calendar. And you know, I'm on all social media. Mystic Healer Sonja Grace is my fan page on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, the real Sonja Grace. So you know, you can find me out there. But more importantly is if you're in LA, please come see both of us because we'll be at the Conscious Life Expo.
Yeah, it's gonna be a blast. Supposed to be really amazing, and I know Sonja is going to be doing some speaking as well as some workshops, so check her out. She's really the real deal, and you can get, and where can they get your book, Spirit Traveler?
You can get it on Amazon or go directly to my website, SonjaGrace.com, and order it on my website.
Fantastic. Sonja, thank you so much for being on the show. Your work is just absolutely
fascinating.
Thanks
for having me.
It's so nice to have you and talk about all these wonderful things that, you know, not many people talk about. So I love it. I think it's really opening our eyes.
Good.
Thanks for being here.
Good. Well, take care and I'll see you soon. Okay.
Yes, thanks. And if you like this episode and you'd like to hear more, you can go to my website at lmk88.com and download our podcast app, Lisa K Radio, for your iPhone or Android. And take all the episodes with you. Listen to them anywhere, anytime. I'm Lisa Kay. You've been listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio, Conscious Living for Your Soul. Angel blessings to everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.